It's the Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm John Munson. In this installment of our series of interviews with Wisconsin candidates for governor, we speak with Phil Anderson, chair of the Libertarian Party of Wisconsin. He's running against Wisconsin Party candidate Arnie Enns, Democrat Tony Evers, Independent Maggie Turnbull, Green Party candidate Michael J. White, and Republican incumbent Scott Walker. What is the top issue you want the next governor to focus on after the election, and why? What questions do you have for candidate Phil Anderson? 800-642-1234. 800-642-1234. Ideas at WPR.org is the email address, or you can tweet us at WPR Mornings. Phil Anderson is the Libertarian candidate for governor of Wisconsin and is currently chair of the Libertarian Party of Wisconsin. He is also a realtor and lives in Fitchburg. Phil, thank you for joining us this morning.
Thanks for having me, John.
So the first question is pretty obvious. Why do you want to be governor of Wisconsin?
Well, I've seen over the last 10, 12 years or so that the relationship between citizens and their government is rapidly deteriorating, not only at the federal level, but at the state level. And I don't see any change in that with the current Republican Party and the current Democrat Party. And so I feel like I needed to step up and run and be involved in politics. I've decided to do that a few years ago when I ran for state assembly here in Fitchburg and then U.S. Senate 2 years ago to represent people's interests at the Capitol and not just the interests of the big parties.
So let's look at your top issues, one of which is increased local control. What exactly do you mean?
Well, if I'm elected governor, we're going to look at every department of the state government and make some decisions, some evaluations about it. And that is, does it need to be done? Can it be done at a more local level? Can it be done more efficiently? And I think that we'll see that as our economy has changed and as our ability to communicate has changed across the state and across the country, we'll see that there's not really a need as much anymore for districts to send a legislator down here to the state capitol to make decisions under the veil of secrecy. And what ends up happening is they make very decisions that benefit their party and not so much their citizens under the veil of secrecy. And we want government to be back at the local level as much as possible. I trust county boards, city councils, school boards to make much more accountable, transparent decisions. That's where they're suffering the consequences of government. That's where the taxes originally come from that pay for programs. And I think that we'll see a much better situation between citizens and their government if more decisions are made locally.
Can you give some examples of changes you'd like to see in terms of local control right off the bat if you're elected?
Well, let's mention something that came up in the news break a little bit. You're talking about mining permits in the state, and right now the state controls land use and mining permits for every area of the state. And I think that the best place to make those decisions is locally, where we're talking about pollution or noise or some other negative aspect of a mining operation, that it's the local community that has to suffer through it. So those decisions should be made at the county level or the local level, if at all possible. I think that makes the most sense. And that relationship was changed, I believe, under the Walker administration because they wanted to be able to have more mines come into Wisconsin at the expense of local communities and their property rights. And I don't really hear anything from the Evers campaign saying that they would change that. But I think it makes the most sense and there's the most justice, the most transparency and accountability if those decisions are made locally, for example.
So would there be anything off limits for localized control?
Well, other than the Bill of Rights, I would say no. I mean, there are some things that may not work the best at the local level. Roads is always an issue that comes up talking to Libertarian candidates. I think that the state, of course, needs to be still involved in building and planning roads. But I think that local governments need to be much more involved in that process in terms of, rewarding or awarding contracts and things like that, because we know that there's a lot of corruption and mismanagement at the Wisconsin DOT.
Can you give some examples of that?
Well, just a few weeks ago, it was reported, I believe, by the Journal Sentinel that Wisconsin DOT was regularly overpaying or paying twice for some aspects of some road projects. The fact that it was just discovered now and only one instance was discovered, I don't think tells the whole story. My gut feeling is that that happens quite a bit, and that we don't even know when it comes to roads how much we're actually how much it really costs to build a road, because there's so much extra cost, waste, and expense built in at Wisconsin DOT. If that project were being handled at the Milwaukee County level or a similar project handled at a more local level, there'd be much more scrutiny. And if people saw, you know, saw the books on that, they'd be more likely to march down to their county board meeting, city council meeting, and address that rather than in this immense Wisconsin DOT budget that we have now, which is pretty difficult to decipher for the average citizen.
Well, we'll talk more about transportation in a moment. I just want to get to another issue that you're focused on, which is the criminal justice system and criminal justice reform. And that can mean a lot of things. What, if elected, would you focus on in terms of reforming our criminal justice system?
Well, we've got a 6-point plan that I will implement as soon as I can. Obviously, not all 6 points can be done, at my wish, being the governor. There's some things that need to work through the legislature and need the cooperation of local units of government. But I'll go through it briefly. The first thing is to legalize recreational marijuana. Now, there are other reasons that it should be legalized for medicinal and industrial purposes. But in terms of the war on drugs, we know that the results of that since its inception has been to disproportionately incarcerate black people, especially in Wisconsin. And the first step in criminal justice reform is to not be arresting people for something that shouldn't be a crime in the first place, so they can return to their families, return to being taxpayers, return to raising their kids, and not a situation where a lot of those families are in trouble, and the kids and the families are costing the state more money. Number two is to get rid of mandatory minimum sentencing. We should trust our judges to do the right thing when they have a case in front of them, and that's not the case now. They're handcuffed to certain levels of incarceration, which they shouldn't be. Number three is to reinstate the idea of jury nullification, which, if your listeners aren't familiar, we're constitutionally allowed for juries to find somebody not guilty for a crime, if not necessarily if that person hasn't committed the crime, but if the law itself is unjust, and that's hence the term nullification. That currently is being prevented by a state Supreme Court procedural situation, and we need to get rid of that and make sure that juries know that they can do that, so that juries can do the right thing. Number four, which I do have control over as governor, is to immediately start signing pardons for people that are in jail for nonviolent drug offenses. We know that that's unjust. We know that's been a racist policy. We need to rectify that, and I'll start signing pardons the day I'm sworn in. The fifth one is to restore voting rights to people who are currently in jail for any situation. It's ridiculous that we claim that we have a representative democracy, yet people who are in prison for things aren't allowed to vote. Unless they're in jail for voter fraud, they should be allowed to vote. And certainly once they're out of prison and on parole or probation. And last of all, we need to do the right thing and expunge records of those crimes for people that are out of prison so that they can get back into the workforce, they can apply for jobs without those unjust convictions on their records. And if we do all of those things, those six things, we can have people returning to their families, return to being parents to their children. We'll drastically lower the incarceration rate and therefore the expense of incarceration, which right now the state budget spends more on incarceration and the DOC than it does on the entire university system. And we improve outcomes in schools. We have more people at work. It's a better deal all the way around for Wisconsin if we just start down that process, and that's what we're going to really aim for.
Phil Anderson is the Libertarian candidate for governor of the state of Wisconsin. He's joining us this morning to talk about what he would do if elected as governor. What I want now is to know what you think should be done. What's the top issue that you want the next governor to focus on after the election, and why is that? And what questions would you have for Phil Anderson? Call us at 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234. You can get in touch via email, ideas@WPR.org, ideas@WPR.org, and we're on Twitter. You can tweet us at WPR Mornings. Phil Anderson, Libertarian candidate for governor of Wisconsin, stays with us. Our conversation continues in a moment. This is The Morning Show on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's the morning show on the Ideas Network. I'm John Munson. This installment of our series of interviews with Wisconsin candidates for governor features Phil Anderson, chair of the Libertarian Party of Wisconsin, who's running for governor as a Libertarian. His opponents include Wisconsin Party candidate Arnie Enns, Democrat Tony Evers, Independent Maggie Turnbull, Green Party candidate Michael J. White, and Republican incumbent Scott Walker. What questions do you have for Phil Anderson? What do you think the next governor of Wisconsin needs to do? What's the top issue? 800-642-1234. According to an audit of the State Department of Transportation in last year, about a third of Wisconsin state highways were in fair, poor, or worse condition than in 2015. And a report from transportation research group TRIP released a month ago showed that half of major locally and state-maintained roads and highways in the state rate as poor or mediocre. We touched on transportation earlier, but what do you see as solutions for repairing and investing in Wisconsin's roads?
Well, we need a very serious audit of the Wisconsin DOT from an outside source, somebody like a forensic accountant, because the Wisconsin DOT budget is huge, and the roads just aren't getting built and repaired the way they should be. I think we need to look in terms of funding at more local-based solutions and more use-based solutions. So I'm not against tolling per se, but it needs to be installed in a way that makes sense and isn't too big of a dent in the budget. But I believe with my whole heart, and I think an audit will show, much as I mentioned in the previous segment about overspending on projects that's currently consciously being done by Wisconsin DOT. And keep in mind that process seems to be so routine that the contractors involved didn't even notify the state that they've been paid twice. So I think that's corruption going on and not just mismanagement. But be that as it may, we need to take a hard look at how the money's being spent right now. We don't even know how much it costs to actually build a road from trying to decipher the Wisconsin DOT budget, because it's so much of a mess. So we need to take a look at that first and foremost.
Would you be open to raising the gas tax?
I would prefer not to, all things being said. The gas tax, while better than sort of general revenue support of roads, it's not strictly use-based anymore, as there are a lot of electric vehicles on the road. I prefer to move to tolling if we need to and relieve pressure on the gas tax. But in the short term, whatever we can do to move to things that are more based on use, I'm in favor of.
Let's take a phone call here. Leslie joins us from Watertown. Leslie, welcome to the morning show.
Good morning, John. Good morning, Phil. Thank you for having this guest on. My question is, we are all waiting to end this reign of political corruption in Wisconsin, and I would like to know what your guest views are on transparency and open records in government, as evidenced in the Atlantic article. This administration has not wanted the citizens to know what they're doing. And also, what are your feelings about or thoughts on issues relating to campaign finance reform? We have too much dark money because of Citizens United. What can you do on the state level to help reverse these bad trends?
Well, Leslie, thanks for that call. A lot to chew on here. Let's take the transparency piece first.
Well, I think we need to do a better job of being transparent, and I'm on record for wanting to install a system right away where all the communications in my administration would be completely transparent from the start, on record. If we need to use blockchain technology or some other form of technology to make them available to the public, it shouldn't take necessarily an FOI request for those to be available. They should be a matter of transparency as it is. And you're absolutely right. The Walker administration does a terrible job, and even has, some of the testimony we've heard lately from officials saying that they were instructed to put things on hard copy or to say things on the phone or on their private cell phone so that it wouldn't be the subject of a Freedom of Information Act request is despicable. But we can solve that pretty quickly. I made a commitment that all my communications and all of my staffers' communications, and I'd like this to extend to the legislature as soon as possible, are a matter of public record immediately when they happen, and aren't subject to some bureaucratic process to be unearthed, hopefully, at some point.
And Leslie's other point about campaign finance reform, given what the Supreme Court has already decided, what can we do in Wisconsin?
Well, I think we should challenge that. I don't think it was the founders' intent, and it's certainly not my belief that that corporations are people, and that there should be, you know, that money equals freedom of speech. Certainly there's some middle ground there, but there's tremendous abuses of that in ways that aren't good for our democracy. So I support the movement to amend the Constitution, the federal Constitution, to accomplish that. And as governor, I will support any effort, legislative or amending the state Constitution, to include that and actually challenge the Supreme Court on that issue and fight them on that, because we know the effect of that. And it's certainly not the intent of anybody, I don't think, except for those interests that have a huge amount of money and actually control our government at this point through campaign donations, transparent or non-transparent, to the Democrat and Republican candidates. That's not the intent of any of us who really want to have a government that works for us.
Leslie, thanks for that call. Let's take a call next from Ann in Muskego. Ann, good morning. Thanks for joining us on The Morning Show. What's your question for Phil?
Well, I had a comment and a question. First, I wanted to say that's the first I've heard of the five-point plan, and I think it sounded intelligent, logical, and compassionate, so I was impressed. And secondly, I wanted to ask about the idea of local control and how to fund local schools, just to see what your opinion was and where you were coming from there. I'll take my answer off the air.
Thanks, Ann. Great question. Our plan for funding the schools is to leave it relatively the same, but try to revert as much of that to the local level as possible. Right now, funds travel to the state, and then the state basically has strings attached when it comes back to local communities. If it's a Democrat administration, that certainly Common Core standards are going to come up, whether they're called that or not. And even in the Republican administration, Scott Walker's voucher program, which some conservatives look at with happiness, is a way to spread federal control of education, because in order to spend the money on those vouchers, you have to those private schools have to adhere to Common Core standards, which are mandated by the federal government. My position on it is that the people in school districts, in cities and counties, should be deciding what their curriculum is and what's appropriate for their students. We still need to fund public schools. Our program would allow people to opt out of public schools, but not with not completely. It's called universal open enrollment. So those people who want to choose something other than public schools, and if they're in areas where their public schools just aren't doing a very good job, they can take that open enrollment money, which is anywhere from $1,800 to $2,500 a year, and choose a different school. Now, the criticism of that has been that that would decimate the funding for public schools, but we're still supporting with most tax dollars public schools, and people that are currently paying property tax are who don't have kids in school obviously aren't opting out and paying for education another way. So that's a way to still fund public schools as a safety net and as an option for people that choose that. But those people who aren't being served well because of political wrangling about funding, about schooling, and especially people who are vulnerable, the poor folks in Milwaukee, Madison, some other areas, have options that they currently don't have. So local control for schools boils down to people having choices, parents, families, school districts, in terms of how their kids are educated.
We know that health care is on the minds of Wisconsinites, and this is a pretty broad subject. If elected, what would you change given the current state of health care in Wisconsin?
Right now, federally and at the state level, health insurance industry runs the health care programs. That's why we have health insurance tied up to every single aspect of health care. So let's draw an example. If we were to have the same insurance program for car insurance as we currently have for health insurance, then every time you went to the pump, every time you wanted an oil change or new tires, you'd be going through this process of dealing with your insurance company, and certainly the price would go up, the choices would go down, the quality will go down. We need to move towards allowing for a separation of those two things. Now, I currently belong to a local primary care service called Our Lady of Hope Clinic, and I pay a subscription every month that's less than $100 for me as an adult, and it covers all of my exams, doctor's visits, et cetera, because insurance isn't involved. So whatever I can do as governor to help that sort of system be started up so that people have options, and then if we need to subsidize that for people, so be it. But right now, every government subsidy that goes to help pay for people to have access to health insurance is really a giveaway to the health insurance industry, and has been since who knows how long. And we need to be able to separate those out so that we know what the real cost of insurance and the real cost of health care are. And then people can negotiate and get better care and better access.
Who would we be negotiating with?
Well, if there's a variety of providers, for example, and this goes to the VA or any situation where we're subsidizing somebody's health care. If they have a choice of where they can go and they're spending money out of something that's subsidized, as opposed to it being all the way routed through insurance. I mean, we know from the investigations that people have done that often for the same procedure, a medical facility would charge a lot more to an insurance company or to the government than they would for a private person paying for that. And that doesn't make any sense. It should be just this procedure costs this much and we're billing this much. But because there's a certain opaqueness to the health insurance aspect of how we get our health care, then these sort of things happen. And of course, that's why the health insurance industry wrote Obamacare, basically wrote Trump's response to it, and why you won't see any sort of proposal do very well at the federal level, especially, that gets rid of the insurance company's stranglehold on the healthcare industry, because the health insurance industry spends so much money on politicians and political parties.
We've got less than a minute left. Is Wisconsin ready to elect a libertarian governor?
Well, I sure hope so. Part of the problem is that we're not offered in the debates. There's another debate tonight. We protested last week outside Channel 15, but I give credit to public radio for having all the candidates on. We will be having more candidate forums that include, where all six of us will be invited, but probably four of us will be coming. Insofar as the public's aware that I'm running and what I stand for, we do very, very well in polls, but it's just a question of getting my name and my ideas out in front of people.
All right. Phil Anderson, thank you for coming in today.
Thank you.
Phil Anderson is the Libertarian candidate for governor of Wisconsin and is currently chair of the Libertarian Party of Wisconsin. To hear more candidate interviews and see coverage of the campaign, visit wisconsinvote.org. We'll continue our gubernatorial candidate interviews Monday with Wisconsin Party candidate Arnie Enns.